Hey, this is David and Josiah again here to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. Now, if you listen to my review right when it came out, then you know that I really loved this movie, but Josiah just went and watched it. Josiah, we could just go right into spoilers. It's been a while and all this stuff. We can go full spoilers right away. Josiah, what did you think of Spider-Man No Way Home?
Man, it was so good. This is what I wanted from a Spider-Man multiverse movie. I think they just, the way they brought characters from other, you know, the other franchises in was what, they did it well. The way they brought the other Spider-Man in, they did it well. And just the interactions between the Spider-Man was great and just very fun movie.
Yeah, I agree, man. This movie is so much fun, and it's like, oh yeah, what they did so well is bringing together kind of these different Spider-Mans that are all kind of different and different tones and different the different villains and their motivations, and they all still have all of those things and all that stuff, and they're, yeah, I think they did a really good job at continuing all those things. Even like the Lizard, who's like the most boring of the Spider-Man villains, they still continued his theme of, like, he wants to change everybody into lizards or whatever, you know. So what did you think of them bringing in all the villains and how all that worked?
It was fun. It was fun to see, like, the different Spider-Man getting to see each other's villains and just the villains getting to see each other. Like they would know some of the guys from, you know, their universe.
Yeah.
But then they get to see the other villains, and it's like, oh, that's weird. And and one time when the Spider-Men were talking, and he was like, what was the craziest thing you fought? And I fought a black blobby alien. And he was like, well, I fought an alien in space. And then the Andrew Garfield one was like, what? I want to fight an alien.
Now, okay. Did it seem weird or more or different to you how much more they made Andrew Garfield like the very, I don't know, I guess sensitive and like he's the super insecure Spider-Man as compared to what he was before? Or is that how you remembered him?
I do think of him as being the more emotional of the three. You know, because in his series, you know, when Gwen Stacy's father dies, you know, he's all like, no, I can't be with Gwen to protect her. And then his, like, emotions change. He's like, I'm going to be with her. And then, you know, and so he was kind of going back and forth all really just based on emotions.
That's true, actually. Okay, I guess so. I don't know, when I first saw it and they were all kind of interacting and he's the one that's like, oh, you know, like, he's the one being, like, super, I love you guys and stuff, which was, you know, fun and funny. And it's kind of, you know, an interesting dynamic in the group, I guess. But it's, I don't know, I guess maybe it came across to me stronger than I was expecting, but maybe that's just because now we're directly comparing him to the other Spider-Mans, you know?
Yeah. And you got to think, both the other Spider-Mans still had their girlfriends. He was the one who lost his and had been living alone.
That's true, yeah.
I like the way they did Sandman, where he just was sand the whole time. That was a cool look. Instead of, like, you know, like in the animated, and I think in the one he was in, he would, like, kind of gain his clothes back, and they would gain their color back when he took shape again. But it kind of makes sense that he would just be sand the whole time.
It makes more logical sense. It is, you know, comic book accurate that he, like, gets his color back and stuff, you know. But, logically it makes less sense that way.
Yeah. But I thought it was a cool design, just him being sand all the time. And
yeah.
When he sat on the couch and was like, oops, and trying to turn the dust off, and he can't. I did like his character, because he wasn't, like, just all-out villain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he wasn't a good guy, but, you know, he wasn't trying to hurt anyone or whatever. He wanted to get back to his universe, because, you know, his timeline, because that's where his daughter was.
Yeah. Which was pretty fitting to what his character was in Spider-Man 3, when his whole motivation, when he's, you know, he's robbing and all the truck and all that kind of stuff. His whole motivation was always just to get money to help his daughter, because that's what he cares about. That's his, you know, he's like driven by that, you know. And so he's always kind of had that. He really doesn't want to do this, and he feels like he's kind of being pushed into it because of the cards that are dealt him. Is he says something along those lines in Spider-Man 3. That is also kind of the way that it seems like he's being played off here too, where he's been pulled into this other universe against his will and stuff, and then he's, he can't go home. He wants to go home to his daughter and all this kind of stuff, and then he's like, oh, I guess, you know, maybe I gotta side with some of these villains in order if this is what it takes to get home or whatever, you know. Though I was thinking, he's probably the most rational of all those villains, you know, because most of the villains are kind of crazy. Doc Ock, you know, once his head calms down and stuff, he's the most rational, I guess. But of all the ones, when they're in their villain mode, he's like the most rational. And so it's like when they all turn against him, I guess in some ways it seems like at the end, in the last battle, instead of him just going full attack mode, he could have been the guy that would have been like, hey, can we talk about this or something? But, you know.
Yeah.
it was kind of the thing where it's like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, I could have seen him being the more rational one or something, you know.
Yeah. And I like the way they did Norman Osborn. So at first, he's just kind of, you know, confused because he's in the Norman state. And
yeah,
he's out of his element. And he's older, you know, he's out of his element. So he's just kind of confused but then, you know, he's still got that dark side. He's still got,
yeah,
you know, the goblin in him.
And they brought back, like, the him talking to the mask and stuff, which was kind of a cheesy kind of thing they did in that first movie. But it's, like, it works in that first movie. And then they bring that back and hits, like, on the dumpster and he's talking to it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he smashes it and, you know, kind of giving the audience the idea, okay, you know, that's... No, he's getting rid of that part of his life, and he was trying to.
Yeah.
But, of course, it came back.
Yeah.
And then, man, when it did, he just done such a good job of playing creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
that mean creepy.
Yes. I like that when they brought him back, they made him the main bad guy. Because there's a bunch of bad guys, and they're all the bad guys or whatever. But ultimately, he's the main bad guy. And when I think of, like, Spider-Man's arch nemesis, I think of the Green Goblin, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that combined with the already great Green Goblin we've had before. So it's like, we already like this villain, you know? It's just, I love it that they brought him back. And he was the main villain amongst all of them.
And he was the villain from the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So that kind of bookends it a little bit with this one.
Yeah.
Even though this one's probably not the last, but it's kind of pays honor to all those old ones.
Yeah. And it's capping off the trilogy of Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, even though, yeah, I'm sure they're making more. What did you think about the decision to put Spider-Man's origin story in here? About basically, instead of Uncle Ben, it's Aunt May. Oh. And instead of him dying from a random robber, it's the Green Goblin and all that stuff.
Yeah, that worked. Because that was missing in this trilogy. And it was just like, they don't want to, you know, retread the same ground. And, you know, it's like, well, you can kind of retread it different, but that's kind of an important part of Spider-Man.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm glad they put that in there. And it's interesting because this last Spider-Man, the Tom Holland Spider-Man, has been different from the start. Because Spider-Man's always been like the kid in New York, down on his luck.
Yeah.
You know, just with the resources of a kid, you know, trying hard just to pay his rent and having to fight villains too.
Yeah.
You know, and this Spider-Man, I mean, like, right off the bat, he was working with Tony Stark. He became an Avenger, basically.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had, like, the crazy awesome suit from Iron Man. And, you know, so he never kind of was that Spider-Man that we know and love. And he didn't quite have the origin story we know and love.
Yeah.
And then this, he got that origin story, but then also because of everyone forgetting his name and him losing the suit from Tony Stark, you know, in the end, he went into like an almost empty apartment. The guy reminded him, the rent's due at the first of the month, yeah. You know?
Which reminds you of the first Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
Rent!
Yeah, exactly. And he had the sewing machine and was making his own suit. And it's like, oh, it took them 3 movies, but they finally
got the origin story done.
Yeah, he finally like ended in the place where most Spider-Men are starting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was really cool. Like, that's a really interesting way to end this trilogy. It makes me so curious if that was the intention from the start. Or if they're like, all right, you know, we need to give him an origin story, or people are complaining that there is no kind of origin or whatever, you know, that we don't have that very core reason of why Spider-Man is Spider-Man. It's never even referenced before, you know. Uncle Ben is hardly even referenced in this series. And then we get the origin story in this third one, and it's like, oh, and it works so well. Yeah, and in my opinion, it works so well to be the one where you bring in the other Spider-Mans, too. Because then they're sharing their stories, too.
Mm-hmm. And helping him through the hard time. That was an emotional scene. I think they did it well. It, you know, she got wounded, but then she was kind of up and walking around, and you're like, okay, maybe she's going to be okay. And then,
yeah.
Then you realize she's not, and it's just like, no.
Yeah.
It was just really emotionally impactful. I thought they did it well.
And she actually said the line. She, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. They actually said it finally.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad they did.
Yeah, because that's a line that I don't think has been said since the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy. Because in the Andrew Garfield ones, they were also trying to kind of dance around that line. And then the first two ones of these, they, you know, it had some of those themes or whatever, but it was never stated. And then this one is, they hammer it home, and it's the origin story kind of movie, and so, you know, it makes sense, and yeah, so good.
Yeah, it's also interesting how, you know, you could just see that there are differences between their universes. So in all of their universes, there's a Peter Parker who becomes Spider-Man. In one, when they were talking, you know, he's like, I don't mean to brag, but I was an Avenger, I was part of the Avengers. Yeah. And they're like, what is that, a band? Are you part of a band?
It's like, how is this relevant?
Yeah, because in both of those other timelines, the Avengers never came to be.
Yeah.
You know? And so sometimes, you know, they show, like, an almost identical timeline with something a little different, you know?
Yeah.
But some of them are very different. Like, one has the Avengers and another doesn't.
Yeah.
And in the post-credit scenes with Venom and Eddie Brock, he was it was basically just at a bar talking to someone and just going over what all crazy things were happening. And, you know, because in his timeline, there's not even, like, heroes flying around and whatever. Yeah. You know, and so it was just funny because it just shows you how different his is. And
yeah. Because, like, his, like, he's probably the biggest hero, which is, like, he's, like, a questionable hero kind of already.
Yeah.
We'll see when Morbius comes around, but he's also looks like a questionable hero.
Yeah. Comes from the anti-hero timeline.
Yeah.
So, before you saw the movie, were you expecting the villains, or at least some of them, to stay in this timeline?
Huh. And, you know, I didn't really have that thought, like, that they would. I guess I figured that they would all go back. I didn't really think about it. Were you?
Well, because at the end of Venom Let There Be Carnage, you know, it had that tag scene where he moved over
That's
and
true.
I thought, okay, this is how they're bringing Venom into the MCU, and he's going to be in the MCU now.
That's true. Now, I did think that when I saw the end of Venom, and he pops into the MCU.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, they're bringing Venom in. He was already broke up with his girlfriend, you know, because they kind of had cut the ties, it seemed like, in his movies. So it would have been nice and clean for them to move him over. Yeah. So I thought, okay, they're moving him over. So if he's coming over, some of the other villains, I know they're all old villains and maybe the actors just came back for one more, you know, ride, whatever. But maybe, like, Jamie Foxx is not as old. Maybe he would keep going, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe some of the villains would stay, but then nope, they all got sent back, even Venom.
Even Venom, who was an after-credits scene.
Yeah.
So yeah, what did you think of that?
I wish he was in it more.
Yeah.
I think he could have been, and that would have been cool. You know, I guess it was so good, and that I don't want them to take away from anything else they did.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been cool if they mixed him in more.
Yeah. To me, that was kind of a disappointment with that. Because it's like, I want to see that version of Eddie Brock Venom fighting this version of Spider-Man, you know? This is like, I want to see them interacting. But then that's... Unless that little piece of Venom that was left over or whatever, unless that goes and finds their Eddie Brock, and he's also, you know, played by Tom Hardy and stuff.
Could be.
Well, you know, so maybe there's something like that. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, to me it was disappointing, because even though it's like, oh, this probably means Spider-Man 4 is going to have Venom in it probably, you know, or something. It's disappointing that he's not... That he didn't really interact with anybody, practically.
Yeah. Because especially the tag scene in the Let There Be Carnage movie, you know, he saw Spider-Man on TV and he like,
I gotta
find that guy. Like, looks the TV and it's like, and then he doesn't go try to find him. He just goes to a bar and drinks.
He gets drunk, yeah. Great. So, yeah, while like that sequence was fun, you know, and it has, you know, it's funny, the way it kind of ends with those characters, it's like, oh man, maybe they'll find a way, you know, since the universe is still open or whatever, they'll find a way to bring him back and we will have a movie with those two or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, also, speaking of that universe, Morbius is coming out pretty soon, actually. Morbius, in the trailer for that movie, there's the Daily Bugle, like a newspaper that is from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. He references Venom, but he also talks to Vulture, Michael Keaton, from the MCU. So that's like multiple different universes, and established, very clearly now established as these are all these multiverse different universes, and yet this one character in a superhero vampire movie is somehow interacting with all these things. Like, I don't think he's going to be jumping universes in that movie, is he?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. I don't get that idea from the trailer.
Yeah.
That is one of the reasons why I thought that those who went into the main MCU would stay.
Okay.
Because I thought that way Venom and Vulture could be there and, you know.
Yeah.
And so you could kind of mix them. Because that's what they do with comic book lines, where they want to kind of like...
That's
they
true.
Got a character in another one. They do some kind of event that brings them into the main timeline, you know.
And then they're just there. Yeah.
And then they're just, there from then on.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought this was maybe the movie version of that. And maybe that explained some of the things in the Morbius trailer.
Yeah.
But evidently not.
Yeah. So maybe, now I'm just more confused than ever.
Maybe when they get sent back, they didn't all necessarily get sent back to their own universes. Maybe it got scrambled a little.
Yeah, see, I was thinking that is something they could do if they want to send it back. And then whatever universe they go back to isn't their version of their universe. It's like a mixture of all of them. And so that way... You want to have some of these MCU elements in here, you can just kind of have it in there because it's also in that universe. And, you know, if you want to have, if you want Andrew Garfield to have a third movie or whatever, he could have a third movie in that universe or something. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's an idea that, honestly, I think could be cool, but am I expecting them to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. They could be cool, but could also get really confusing for fans.
Yes. Yeah. Because then, yeah, a Spider-Man showing up and it's not in the MCU or in his canon of movies necessarily. It's like, yeah, it would probably get confusing, but it's already, I'm just very already confused by the trailer.
But now, because Andrew Garfield only got two movies.
Yeah.
And I think Tobey Maguire's done.
Probably.
You know,
I thought they were going to kill him. When he gets stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
And honestly, like, for the emotional conclusion of the movie, he probably should have died.
That would have been impactful.
Yeah.
That would have, yeah.
But I tend to think they didn't just for the sake of the fans that don't want, they don't want my Spider-Man to die.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I get that, but at the same time, it's like, he probably should have died, you know? And then it would have been the Green Goblin, again, tying it back to that first movie, it's the Green Goblin, the first supervillain that he ever fought is the one that ends up killing him, and then he gets saved, and he sees that, and then he dies or something. You know, it's like, that would have been great.
Because in the first movie, he jumped out of the way, and Green Goblin's own glider stabbed him.
Yeah.
Now he jumps into the way.
Yeah.
And stops the glider from stabbing him.
Yeah.
And then gets stabbed himself.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, it is, because he jumped in the way of the glider coming at Goblin, which is the opposite of what he did in that first movie.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so good. Because that makes that even an even more powerful moment, both for him and also, you know, it's the powerful moment with for Tom Holland, because he's the one trying to kill him and then deciding not to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
But see, now that they brought up this multiverse thing, they could make Andrew Garfield a third movie.
They totally could.
And it'll just be, you know, back in his timeline after he went back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that would, because I think if they had two, like, if they made him a third movie while doing the newer Spider-Man trilogy, that would have just been confusing to fans. Or, why is there two Spider-Mans? And, you know, it just kind of would have been weird. And, but now, I don't think it would be. I think they could just go ahead and make one that doesn't really have, wouldn't have to tie into the MCU. You know, it could just be back set in his timeline. And And it wouldn't be weird for people. So that'd be cool. And then they could just keep making the Tom Holland ones as well. And, you know, I would be down for that.
And they could develop, like, they already were developing his character more in this one when he catches MJ. A great sequence.
I love that because, at first you had, you know, Tom Holland jumping down to save him, which makes sense. That's his girlfriend.
Yep.
But he can't. And then the way it's falling and the way the scene is filmed and you see the stuff falling around her, they were like recreating the same scene. Not exactly, but you were definitely supposed to get that vibe that this is the same as that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was able to save her and it was kind of, you know, you could even tell on his face, it was kind of, you know, a redemption, like, oh yes, I did it. You know, I couldn't do it last time. I was able to do it this time.
Yeah, such a cool moment.
Yes.
Which then, if he does have a third movie, they could mature him a little bit more because of some of those sequences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Daredevil showing up?
That was cool.
Yeah.
I heard rumors that he was going to be in it. I'm glad they're bringing him in because, you know, the Netflix Marvel shows have referenced the movies, but the movies have never really referenced or really recognized that those exist.
Yeah.
Which I was fine with. You know, in my head, I could see that they're all the same continuity, but not everyone in the world interacts with each other.
Yeah.
So it worked for me, but I would have liked them to connect more. And that's one of the things I liked about the shows moving to Disney Plus over Netflix is that it is connected more. But I didn't know if they would do anything with the Netflix shows. But then bringing him in makes me excited because it's not only, you know, he's my favorite of the Netflix characters, but if they bring one in, they can bring more in.
Yes.
So
and in the Hawkeye show. Spoilers for the Hawkeye show, if this isn't at the end of that episode. In the Hawkeye show, they brought in Kingpin, which was like releasing around the same time that the movie was released. So both these characters coming back at the same time. When we were talking about that in the episode, I was like, I so wanted to talk about the Charles about Matt Murdock coming back in this movie because I was like, dude, but you didn't see it, so I didn't say anything.
Yes, thank you for that.
But it's like, so they're not only are they bringing it back in the TV show form in like Hawkeye and stuff, but they're bringing it back in the movies, and Daredevil interacting with Spider-Man, which is like kind of a classic comic book duo in the comics. Yeah. And it's confirmed that it's not just like it's him and he's dressed that same way, but we're not really going to do anything with it. When they throw the brick through the window and he catches it, it's like, no, he's Daredevil.
Yeah, it was cool because it was mostly low key. I mean, he was playing lawyer mode, so
yeah.
He was just, you know, the blind lawyer.
Yeah.
But then he caught the brick. He was like, it's like, how did you do that? I'm a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he kept telling Happy, you're going to need a really good lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he caught the brick. How'd you do that? I'm a really good lawyer.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would be cool. They could just totally, because some, you know, not all the movie fans have seen the Netflix shows. So they could just bring him in at first as a lawyer. That's what they did this time, except for they did hint, oh, there's more than just a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think most people would know that he's Daredevil.
Yeah.
But for those who don't, you know, they see, oh, there's something. But they could just, the first several appearances, he could be just a lawyer. And then they could move it into, you know, show you, oh, he's Daredevil, and do something with more with him.
There's the She-Hulk TV show coming up, which I didn't even think about this till just now, but she's also a lawyer.
Yeah.
So she could have some interaction with him in her TV show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that way you could build up, just keep building up more of the lawyer side of him before you really bring it around to the Daredevil side.
Dude, I hope they give him another show or another movie or something, you know?
So I heard a rumor about the Echo TV show that's upcoming.
Yeah.
That it may have Daredevil in it more.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if that would make sense because Echo and Kingpin are connected. And yeah. I'm not sure how all the legal stuff works out for Disney. Can they just make a fourth season of the Daredevil show? Maybe not because of legal rights things.
With Netflix and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so they might create a show. They have to call it something different, have to have a different name. But it could be a continuation of that same storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so you have Echo, and you can bring Kingpin back and reveal that he's not dead, actually.
Yeah. Because, yes, after I saw that, I did some research and found out that scene is actually from a comic book.
Oh, okay.
So in the comic books, Echo shoots Kingpin in an alley. You know, it was. I saw the stills of the comic book. You know, and it looked very similar. And she shot him, and then he ended up not being dead, but being blinded.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yes.
So you kind of have the blind hero versus the blind Kingpin.
Yeah. Huh.
And eventually he regained his sight.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. So, but because that scene in the show looked so much like the comic book scene, that I think they were kind of giving it away for those who did the research that he probably is still alive.
Yeah.
Which I was glad of because
that
was not a good way for him to die.
Yeah.
Plus, he is such a fantastic character.
Yeah. So far we've had two Daredevil characters coming back. So now the question is the rest of them. Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, are they coming back too? Which presumably if you're bringing Daredevil in, this like you gotta bring them all in. They're all interconnected. But that's the next question. And if you can't make a Defenders season 2, you could make it Heroes for Hire.
Yep. Give it a different name and
make it basically the same thing. What did you think about Spider-Man healing all the villains? Like that whole thing.
Yeah, I like that they did put that focus, like, because Spider-Man is a character who's driven more by his morals. You know, he's one of the ones that doesn't kill people. And just like, yeah, cause sometimes in life there's that choice that's easy, but not really probably what you should do. Mm-hmm. You know, and like when Doctor Strange was about to just send them all to the back to their universe, that would have been so easy.
Yeah.
It just boom.
And the way he explained it, super rational. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, they were going to die anyway. They were about to die. They just got flipped here for a bit and then back, you know?
Yeah.
And then they just live out what they were going to live out, you know? So, yeah, it doesn't even seem that bad. It was just super easy to just make that choice. Yeah, let him go.
Yeah.
But he chooses to do the hard thing because it's right.
Yeah.
And then even when things go sideways, you know, then after that you could be like, well, I tried. Now let's end this. Yeah. You know, but no, but he was still trying to do the right thing, even though that was the hard thing. And so I like that. I thought that was good. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, and it ends up, you know, making him fight Doctor Strange and stuff. And it's, I thought that fight scene was really interesting because it's almost like, it's like Doctor Strange. You can see Doctor Strange is way more powerful than Spider-Man. And really, like, the only reason he lost is because he underestimated him. Because he's just, like, very casually, for a lot of his fight, just going like, okay, come on. Like, give it back and stuff. And then, you know, and then even when he goes into the mirror dimension and stuff, and, you know, when it gets a little bit more serious, then he gets the box back and he's like, all right, well, I'll be back. And he just starts to casually kind of leave. Mm-hmm. And then Spider-Man, like, figures it out and he's like, wait, if it's all math, I can just do this and that and this. And so even though Doctor Strange is, like, a way more powerful character and in, like, you know, a fight to the death or whatever, he would probably win.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man won because he underestimated him, and he's tricky. He's clever.
Yeah, and it's cool, because Doctor Strange was just so sure he was right. And, you know, you got the kid and, you know, the smart guy who studied under, you know, the shaman person or whatever she was, you know, and, you know, the ancient one. And so you'd think he, you know, defer to his wisdom, right? You know, he knows a lot, you know. But then at the end, when he comes back, And he sees, oh, he is healing them.
Yeah.
You know, someone told him, no, his plan's working. He's healing them. He's just like, well, would you look at that?
Yeah, Doctor Strange was really good in this. This is honestly probably my favorite Doctor Strange we've gotten so far. You know, you get the weird stuff that's cool. We got some of the most emotionally grounded stuff I think we got in here with him too, talking to Spider-Man and, you know, both before when he's talking about the you know, oh, can you help me in this hard time? He's like, you know, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You know, sometimes you got to live. And he's kind of mentoring Spider-Man then. And he's like, oh, no, wait, we can use the forgetting spell. And then at the end, when he's like, if you make everybody forget, and he's like, no, that's not an option, because then I would forget you too, and, you know, this is not okay. And so he's like, we're going to have to figure something else out. And then, you know, Spider-Man, again, makes a big sacrifice and says, no, this is what it should be. And he's like, okay, you know, and it's really good stuff with Doctor Strange, too.
Yeah, because you see that, I mean, he's a jerk, and outwardly, he kind of portrays this, I don't care, you know, thing. And he was even a jerk to Spider-Man. He was like, you messed up my spell, you know, this is happening because of you. But you could also tell he cared about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, he cared about this kid that he got to know.
Yeah.
And because he could have just easily said, nope, sorry, can't do that spell, you know.
Yeah.
Be on your way.
Because Wong, said, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So.
But he kind of like, ah, oh, this kid's been through a lot. I know he's hurting. I know he, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to help him because he's my friend. We've been through stuff together. So, yeah, I see how he kind of played both ends where it was like, you're kind of like, oh, man, he's a jerk. But you could tell he cared about him.
Yeah. What did you think about Ned Leeds using magic?
That was interesting. I wouldn't have put on Doctor Strange's ring.
Yeah.
Because when he got back, he might not have been happy. Yeah. But it kind of fit with Ned's personality.
Right.
Yeah, afterward, I was wondering, I was like, huh, I've never heard of Ned Leeds before. I didn't know if he was an original character or if he was someone from the comics. But afterward, I was starting to think, huh, is he someone from the comics who has some magic powers?
He's someone from the comics, but he doesn't have magic powers. He turns into the Hobgoblin.
Oh.
So he does turn into a villain and fight Spider-Man, unlike what he promises Spider-Man he's not going to.
Okay.
But yeah, nothing magical about his character as far as I know. Yeah, I don't know. To an extent, it just seemed like this was a plot convenience to make everything work out or whatever. Yeah. And to an extent, I just thought it was just, that's kind of silly. Like, couldn't we have found a different way to do that? I don't know what other way, but, you know, I don't know. Just the fact that it happens to be Spider-Man's best friend can now use magic, too, is like, completely untrained, too. Like, you remember when Doctor Strange was on the mountain and he couldn't open the portal, and then he just, like, accidentally opens one to Spider-Man, to the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, you know? It's like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you think about them putting a Captain America shield on the Statue of Liberty?
I was wondering about that symbolism, because when they were doing their plan and he revealed to the world that they were on the Statue of Liberty to draw the villains in, and J. Jonah Jameson's like, oh great, they're gonna destroy another national monument. They were putting a Captain America shield on the Statue of Liberty, and at this point Steve Rogers is dead. So I'm thinking, it's probably to honor him and stuff. But then, it through the course of the fight, it ends up falling off and knocking the scaffolding away, and you're left with nothing but the Statue of Liberty as we know it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was kind of thinking, what is that? Because there's Liberty, and then they're putting a shield on it. Is that, the Captain America shield, is that representing America?
And then America's falling away to...
Yeah, like saying America, like liberty doesn't belong to America only.
I don't know.
Liberty is liberty. I don't know. I've been thinking about kind of the symbolism there.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what they were trying to say with that. I'm not sure I know though.
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw that and was like, dude, you don't put something else on the Statue of Liberty. What? What?
Yeah, don't add paint to a masterpiece.
Yeah. That's not cool. You don't, you're not like, oh man, and we're going to add Iron Man into the Mona Lisa. Like, what? Yeah.
Maybe. Because, okay, so Spider-Man was an Avenger, and he rolled with the heroes, he was with Captain America and stuff. And then that part of his life fell away, because they all forgot him, Now he's not an Avenger. I mean, maybe people remember Spider-Man was, but they don't, but he can't really go back and, so maybe that part of his life fell away and it gave him a new freedom. What was left behind was, liberty. And because Dr. Strange said the problem is you're living two lives as Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So just kind of as some of that fell away, then he was free to live one life. He was being Spider-Man, but he wasn't really being Peter Parker anymore. That's why when he saw MJ and Ned after they'd forgotten him, he didn't reintroduce himself. He noticed the cut on MJ's head and he remembers, yes, the people who know me and are close to me tend to get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt my friends. And so leaving the one life behind freed him up to live the other life.
That ending with him not revealing himself to MJ and Ned, in some way, I guess it's kind of like the ending of the first Spider-Man movie where he's like, no, MJ, I can't be with you because I'm Spider-Man. And like, this is my gift and my curse and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I watch that and I have conflicting feelings about that. Because it's like, on one hand, yes, that's a noble thing. He doesn't want to put his friends and family in danger. And so he's cutting them off and saying no to keep that danger away from them. On the other hand, what's like a real life equivalent to a crime fighter is like a cop or something. or an undercover cop, maybe? Can an undercover cop not be in a relationship or something? Like, is, you know, I don't know. Because it's like, to me, it's a, to an extent, it's like, shouldn't, you know, shouldn't you be able to have a relationship too? Or is this?
Yeah, shouldn't you be able to make real life work as well?
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying, and yeah, when he wasn't telling him, it's like, oh man, you're making a mistake, but I think they're gonna get back together at some point, you know, it's like, okay, maybe he's gonna, you know, go to, you know, try to get into MIT and be around them, and as MJ said, you know, when he said, I'll tell you, she's like, you better, because I found it, if you don't, I found it out once, I'll find it out again.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a little harder for her the second time around, but, you know, they could just totally make her figure it out again.
Mm-hmm. With everybody forgetting Peter Parker. Everybody forgets Peter Parker, but they still remember Spider-Man. Okay, so nobody knows who Peter Parker is. So, but wouldn't all the identification and paperwork and everything of him still exist in the world? So he would still exist in government databases for the whatever you have to have to go to school or whatever, he would still exist in the files of the school, and so they would look him up and be like, oh no, Peter Parker, where he goes to school here? He's been in my class for the last 3 years or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's kind of seems a little wishy-washy exactly how the spell applies.
Yeah.
Does
all that stuff disappear too?
Because obviously all the newspaper articles saying Peter Parker is Spider-Man,
they would be,
are gone or altered.
Yeah, because they would be everywhere at that point. That was just recently that happened.
Yeah. So I think, like,
and you would find old news clips of yourself saying that or something, you know, that's what J. Jonah Jameson would find or something.
Yeah. So I think what it must have done, and because it is a magical spell, it doesn't have to really, like, follow scientific rules or anything. So, you know, everything that still happened. Like, the people who saw him and knew it at one point still would have known it at that point. Like, it didn't go back in time and rewrite history. It just, in the present, made people forget, and then also would have, I guess, altered records and stuff, even like printed memories or, you know,
okay,
video memories as well as human memories.
Yeah, MJ opens up her phone. It's like, who is this that I'm kissing on my phone? What in the world? So yeah, it must, because otherwise people would find out. It would be weird.
Really fast.
Yeah. Okay, so overall, it was like a pretty average movie.
It was fantastic. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yep, it was so good. All right, so that is it. That is our thoughts on Spider-Man No Way Home. If you want to shoot me an email with your thoughts, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com, and let me know. This is David.
And Josiah.
Of the Helix Reviews Podcast, signing out. Bye-bye, guys.